consumers have been urged to boycott Starbucks, Amazon and Google by a senior MP. Is it something you'd be prepared to do? Margaret Hodge has backed direct action to punish the well-known firms after they failed to convince a common spending watchdog that they were paying a fair share when it comes to their tax. This is what she had to say.
I do think you should express your disapproval where you can by not purchasing goods from companies who deliberately avoid paying their fair contribution to the tax base in the UK.
Well, all three firms were forced to defend arrangements which have seen them pay little or no corporation tax in the UK despite extensive operations. Would you be prepared to boycott one of your favourite companies for that particular reason? Do you think it's right for senior politicians to ask you to do that or to suggest to you that you should do it? 08459 555 678 is the number. 81771 with your texts. The commentator Eamon McCann is on the line with us this morning. So to economist and wealth manager Jonathan Davis. Jonathan, let's start with you. These companies, basically, it's tax avoidance, not necessarily tax evasion, definitely not tax evasion. They're within their rights legally to do it. So how do they manage it? How is it done? I mean, do they spend thousands or hundreds of thousands of pounds on making their tax bill as small as possible?
In a nutshell, that's exactly what they do. And in a similar vein, on a much smaller scale, I suspect you and practically all of your listeners have an individual savings account, which is a tax-free savings account. Companies and individuals do things to save tax. Ultimately, that's what you should do. It's the company's responsibility to reduce their expenditure and maximise their profits whilst delivering, of course, goods and services that people and businesses want to buy. But to suggest that they should pay more than the rules say they should pay, well, it's cloud cuckoo land. It's not going to happen.
Eamon?
Well, there's a certain logic to that, you know, but it's a capitalist logic and it's not one that should appeal to any ordinary person with common sense. It's not true that everybody can indulge in this type of a scheme on any scale. For example, you know, Starbucks, which are one of the main companies which triggered this flurry of publicity, Starbucks in the last 14 years has paid around £9 million in corporation tax in the UK. That's not per year. That is over 14 years. It is paying well under £1 million a year in tax. And it does that in the legal scheme, and it is legal, sort of, which they are that they have set up. And Vault, for example, Starbucks in the UK, where it has 15,000 workers, it pays an allegedly separate company, Starbucks of Luxembourg, for royalties for every use of the Starbucks logo in its shops and signage and on its polystyrene cups, and then deducts the annual cost of these royalties from the profits declared in the UK, reducing them to effectively zero. Now, if you're running a small coffee shop in Belfast or Derry, or a small chain of coffee shops, you cannot put such a strategy in place. So they're in competition, quite apart from the fact that that when these taxes are not being paid, it has an immediate impact on the deficit, sort of, which the government keeps complaining about and uses to justify austerity measures imposed upon people in the bottom half of society. You know, sort of, as well as that, sort of, this strategy of Starbucks, perfectly legal, sort of gives them sort of a significant advantage in terms sort of local small businesses. So it seems to me that everybody has got an interest, or the vast majority of people have got an interest in putting a stop to this, and the only way to put a stop to it, because I have no doubt in my mind that Westminster isn't going to listen. A lot of these schemes were set up and championed by Blair and Brown, so the Labour Party's in a compromised position. Until they feel the wrath of the people, the parties at Westminster are not going to move.
That's where Starbucks and other companies here in the high street would be slightly different, Jonathan, in this, where they are having a direct impact on small businesses, because it's hard enough for smaller shops to compete with those big multinationals without, you know, even if they were on the same level playing field in terms of tax. This gives the big companies an even bigger advantage.
I'm on the same page with you and the other speaker in that respect. I would just take issue, actually. It's not really capitalism. Capitalism is about fairness and equality. This is not clearly about equality. This is about, as you quite rightly point out, both of you, this is about big companies taking unfair advantage over what rules the governments of the world and indeed the government of the UK have created.
So in terms of the question to listeners this morning, I mean, would they be prepared to vote with their feet? 0845955678 this morning, and not cross the threshold of businesses who are doing this. I mean, do you think there is a public mood out there that would see that happen, or are people too set in their ways of going for their Starbucks or whatever else it would happen to be, and they'll not change no matter what happens?
I think it's very interesting that we have to make a distinction here as to the companies in question. I'll tell you, no one's going to stop going to Google to find out about X, Y, or Z. But yes, I can imagine that if this really gets a groundswell of opinion, then there is going to be a consumer backlash, a branding issue for Starbucks, because let's face it, do you really want to spend £3 for a coffee when you could spend £2.25 for a coffee somewhere else? And you're supporting basically the local economy. I suspect if this really gets a groundswell going and continues to go, as opposed to the 24-hour flash in the pan, if it really gets going, then yes, I think Starbucks are going to have a branding issue here, and they're really going to have to watch out.
Do you think people in Northern Ireland, Eamon, would be prepared to vote with their feet?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of anger here in Northern Ireland as well as across the water, and indeed for very similar reasons down south. I think that there is a not just against these companies, but about the grotesque unfairness of the whole operation of the economic system at the moment, where the people least able to pay are being asked to shoulder most of the burden. Now, I agree it's very difficult to organise, would be very difficult to organise a boycott of Google or indeed of Amazon. And Amazon is one of the big offenders, if I can put it like that, sort of in this sort of where they're actually losing their profits through a luxury.
Of course, the other side of the coin is that it's not tax avoidance per se, it's tax avoidance in certain places, and it's good business.
Well, of course, I mean, it's good business if you can get away sort of with paying as little tax as possible effectively, as in Starbucks' case, in many years, literally, quite literally, no tax at all. Let me say that. There have been years in which the entire Starbucks operation in the UK has paid less tax than a person on the average wage. One person on the average wage. What a scandal. I mean, it's such a great scandal, it's hard to get your mind around it, and I think there's a lot of anger about it. And the point about Starbucks is, well, Starbucks is vulnerable, as are others. Topshop, you know, Vodafone, Boots the Chemist. They are very vulnerable to consumer boycotts, and if that is put in place, I think that it will work. It also, sort of, if it forces a attention to be paid to the overall problem of tax avoidance of this kind, then Google and Amazon and the rest of them and Facebook will be caught in the backwards. The thing to do, I believe that a boycott campaign against companies like Starbucks is not only sort of justifiable, it is urgently needed, and people should get together, and radical organizations, ordinary citizens groups and unions and all the rest of them should be weighing into this in a big way at the moment, and I do believe that that's going to happen.
I respectfully say to both of you that I think you're both slightly, maybe more than slightly, older than I am. In your experience, Jonathan, and bearing that in mind, I mean, are there examples where boycotts of this nature against certain retail outlets have been successful?
I can't actually recall. I've been thinking about this since yesterday when your producers called me. I can't actually recall of boycotts of a financial nature, but certainly as a young man, no doubt around your age today, I recall there was big boycotts against certain banking groups in the UK who had branches or operations in South Africa, while, of course, they had apartheid. Now, that is not directly a financial issue. And there's no doubt that what happened was the particular banking group I'm thinking of, it pulled out of South Africa and didn't go back in until apartheid fell apart. So, you know, these things can work. But as Eamon says, it cannot be a flash in the pan. It has to be a foundation from the roots of society, consumer groups, political groups, even indeed, of course, economic groups who build such public opinion that eventually, I don't think it is actually down to the corporations to make the move, because I'll tell you what, I don't think they will. It will take Parliament to make the changes to the tax rules, and that's where I think the focus from Margaret Hodge and Eamon are incorrect. The focus should not be on the corporations. The focus should be on the duopoly of Labour and Conservative, who set the rules, successive governments, over decades, which allow these multinational companies to get away with all this. These are the people we should be banging the doors down and saying, change their rules.
Well, it's a good point, that, isn't it? I mean, it's all right for Margaret Hodge, who's an MP, to be telling all the members of the public to boycott these places. I mean, she's sitting at Westminster. She has the ear, surely, of more influential people than we have. So that's surely who she should be speaking to, not the punters, Eamon.
Yes, well, I agree, sort of agree with what's just been said, of course. I think sort of that if we want Parliament to move, I don't believe that's going to happen as a result of polite lobbying by Margaret Hodge or anybody else. As I've said before, the British Labour Party is deeply compromised in this whole issue. It's got no moral or political standing at all. I mean, to confront it, and I think there's a high element of opportunism about the way Labour MPs, including, I'm sorry to say, Ms. Hodge, has been acting in the last couple of days. The only thing which is going to make them move is when they fear the wrath of the people.
Eamon, is there a feeling, do you think, out there among the general public, this has just come to me, where people actually might think, well, good luck to them. I wish I could avoid paying some of my tax. If they're getting one over on the tax system, well done.
Well, you know, if they think that, they're very foolish, because, of course, they can't, individuals can't, ordinary people can't get one over on the tax people in anything like the significant scale that these big companies have. What happens is this, that if you're caught sort of diddling the social welfare system for a couple of hundred quid, you'll be hauled up into court, you'll be named and shamed in front of your neighbours, and this happens for a couple of £100, week in and week out, as people who are ruining the country, sort of by tax evasion, running into billions of pounds, get off scot-free. Now, there's something so inherently unfair about that, that it seems to me that if a sort of a focus for the anger arising from that sort of is found, and this issue of major companies with a sort of sensitive brands, consumer-sensitive brands, are sort of being pilloried, as they should be, for this, then if a focus for the anger arising from that grotesque unfairness appears, then I don't think people are going to be saying, good luck to them, I would do that if I could. They're going to have a very different reaction. Indeed, it's at that point that there's some hope of politicians moving.
Francis Morgan in Portadown. Francis, what's your view on this?
Well, I'll just tell you a wee story. Some years ago, I was travelling down south on a weekly visit, and I was listening to Radio Ulster regarding the tax on fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so patriotic that I never bought anything down there, but there was a comment made on that programme that for every £10 worth of fuel we bought, the government got £8. My patriotism for fuel went out the window there and then. And I would just wish Starbucks, Amazon, and all the rest of them the very best and pay as little tax as possible, but the government does take too much anyway.
So you would be one of those people who would fall into that category that I was talking about, where as opposed to boycotting these companies, you would actually say, well, well done for trying to find a way of beating the tax man.
I would indeed, and I certainly will not be boycotting them.
Eamon McCann says that that's a foolish way to view this.
Well, but he's entitled to his view, and I hope that I'm entitled to mine as well. But yes, I will certainly not boycott them. I don't normally go to Starbucks anyway, but I use Amazon, and I certainly use the other ones. But I would keep supporting them. I'll not be boycotting them. and I just wish them all the best.
It's an interesting one, this 0845955678. Would you be boycotting these companies, or would you, like Francis, be saying, well, well done? The other point on this one, Jonathan, is, I mean, if you're going to boycott all these places, all these Starbucks shops, for instance, what happens to the employees?
I take the view that people who work for companies who stick to the letter of the law, but not the spirit.
But if this hits Starbucks hard, and you know they're closing shops all over the place, I mean, it doesn't really help the employees. You're going to lose their jobs.
Yeah, I know, and that of course would be a byproduct of Starbucks going down the pan, which you and I both know is not going to really happen. But ultimately, you know, if people are drinking coffee and they're not drinking at Starbucks, they'll be drinking somewhere else. Those people will find another job. That's not the issue. I would, however, like to make a big picture point, and I've made this in the BBC a couple of times.
Quickly, if you can, Jonathan, because we'll need to move on.
The tax structure has been created decades ago for super rich people and multinationals. And until the people get to grips with that reality, not a lot's going to change.
OK, Jonathan Davis, thank you very much. Also to Eamon McCann,